I'm Lindsay Dunn, Editor-in-Chief. Our October issue features a cover story by reporter and reform practicing attorney Ayla Ellison titled, "Is This the End for Hospital Charity Care?" And the issue is a hot one because the ACA extended insurance coverage to many Americans, but as you will probably know, the Supreme Court ruling made Medicaid expansion optional, and that left many hospitals questioning their decision to accept some $155 billion in cuts for the expanded coverage that was promised back in 2010. So, Ayla, in the story, you profile a few major health systems that have scaled back their charity care in the last year or so. Can you tell us about a few of these?
Yes, Lindsay. Through my research for this article, I discovered this is a trend that's catching on across the nation. One of the major systems that has already scaled back their program is BJC Healthcare, which is a 12-hospital system that includes Barnes, Jewish, and St. Louis. What I discovered is their system now requires all patients to provide a copayment regardless of their income level, which is a big change to their program. That system also made other changes, such as who qualifies for financial assistance. BJC now offers a 25% discount on services to patients earning up to three times the poverty level, whereas formerly it was available to those earning up to four times the poverty level. Another system that has chosen to scale back their charity program is Fletcher Allen Healthcare, which now, with the changes in force, patients earning as low as twice the poverty level are receiving reduced financial assistance. And although those systems have already made changes, there are other organizations such as Ascension Health that are still evaluating the move to scale back their program. Ascension has put together a task force to specifically address the issue.
So when you talk about the poverty level at which you are, had the opportunity to receive some sort of reduction in your costs, to me, it makes sense that you may, that hospitals and states that have expanded Medicaid would scale that back. It kind of makes sense to me. But you reported in the story that this is happening at hospitals and health systems in non-expansion states. So tell me a little bit about why you found they were scaling back as well.
Okay, overall, with the systems that I researched for this article, I found that many of them were making changes to their charity care program to provide an incentive for those who qualify to sign up for subsidized coverage on the exchanges. However, like you said, in states that have not expanded Medicaid, many people fall into what is called a coverage gap, where they make too much to qualify for Medicaid, but they also don't qualify for subsidized health insurance. The system that I previously mentioned, BJC Healthcare, is headquartered in Missouri, which is one of the states that has not expanded Medicaid. And according to data from this past April, there's approximately 193 people in Missouri that fall into a coverage gap. So therefore, the explanation of, you know, trying to induce people to sign up for coverage doesn't really work there, since there are so many who still will not be able to receive coverage. But as far as the reasons why those systems are scaling back, they just commented that it was to meet the requirements of the Affordable Care Act.
Not a lot of detail there, it doesn't sound like. So that's what I was going to ask about. You know, with the individual mandate, everyone has to have coverage. Technically is the law, but what you're saying is that because of the level for Medicaid expansion and the level for where you start getting a subsidy for the states that didn't expand, there are people who technically would need to get coverage but aren't going to get a subsidy for it. And so most likely if they don't have a high income, which they don't, you know, it's not necessarily likely they would sign up and actually comply with the individual mandate.
That is correct, Lindsay. These people who fall into the coverage gaps have no other options as far as paying for the care. They don't have enough income to pay for it out of their pocket, so they really have relied on options like charity care for their healthcare needs, and that is no longer going to be available for many of them.
So when you pitched this story and when I edited it and it kind of came together, you know, the cutbacks of charity care in the state for Medicaid didn't expand was one really fascinating aspect. You know, it's not surprising because certainly reimbursements are down and margins are under big pressure, but what really struck me is that at the same time all of this is going on, the Affordable Care Act requires now nonprofit tax-exempt systems to complete a form that they share with the IRS that details the amount of community benefit, including charity care, that they provide. And right now it's just reporting it to the government. But many have speculated, and it seems there's interest from Congress, to eventually take that data and use it to enact some sort of rule or requirement about perhaps how much charity care or benefit you'd have to provide to keep that tax benefit. And so I don't know, I was just interested in that, if that had come up as a concern for any of the hospitals you've talked to, and is that a worry for them if they're scaling back on charity care?
Lindsay, that did not come up with any of the systems or hospitals that I talked to when I was researching this article. I think right now what the issue is, like you said, they are mandated to report the community benefit, but right now there is no uniform standard as far as, you know, defining what that has to be. So although there has been speculation as to what that information is going to be used for, right now I believe many systems, they're in compliance with the reporting, and from my conversations, they didn't seem concerned that scaling back on their charity care program was going to have any sort of adverse effect on them in the future.
Great. Very interesting. Well, thank you, Ayla, for chatting with me. And for everyone listening, you can read the full story by Ayla on www.beckershospitalreview.com and clicking current issue in the October issue on the menu bar.